Welcome to the Dwizzle Nation podcast, discussing music, movies, sports, and pop culture. I'm paranoid, sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother's always stressing I ain't living right, but I ain't going out without a fight. See, every time my eyes close, I start sweating and blood starts coming out my nose. It's somebody watching the act, but I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. I can see him when I'm deep in the covers. When I awake, I don't see the motherfucker. He owns a black hat like I own, a black suit and a cane like my own. Some might say take a chill, B, but fuck that shit. There's a nigga trying to kill me. I'm popping in the clip when the wind blows. Every 20 seconds got me peeping out my window, investigating a joint for traps, taking my telephone for text. I'm staring at the woman on the corner. It's fucked up when your mind is playing tricks on you.
Boom. All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we are back again for another episode of the Dwizzle Nation podcast. As you guys know, I've been hyping up this interview that I've personally been looking forward to for a minute. You guys also have been paying close attention to how I've been saying how the younger generation knows how to flip cash and how to function in society. This man right here that I've known going on, 12, 13 years since we met the first time?
Yeah, a while ago. About then.
Well, this is an individual who would function. And let me just sidetrack a little bit. There's some people right now who are millionaires. If this was the 70s or 80s or even the 90s, they'd be flat broke. This brother right here that we're talking about right now, along with DJ Tito, would know how to make money in any generation. That's real talk. I want to welcome Mr. Melvin Johnson of Process the Mel. Also of 1% Better podcast.
1% Better every day.
1% Better every day.
Absolutely.
And what's the name of your... I was binge watching the vlog today, man. I forgot the name of it.
Man, I'm all over. I'm glad you was tapping into all of that. So the vlog is The Daily Process. That is a vlog that I put out once a week that kind of documents what I'm doing on a day-to-day. Along with some of the other things that you mentioned, like the 1% Better Everyday podcast that I do with my brothers, Shondo Blades, as well as 9 to 5, as well as some other things that I'm into and try to provide for the family and kind of build my own little empire, if you will. So
that's all a lot of things going on. That's all good stuff, man. Definitely much respect to what you got going on. Now, originally, the intro of the song, which you guys didn't hear of the podcast, was Mind Playing Tricks on Me by the Ghetto Boys. And the reason I did that is you being from Houston and this being a show that revolves around hip hop. But Tito put me on to the fact that you're not originally from Houston. Mm-hmm. So my outro is going to be California Love as we exit the podcast. But so... Melvin, why don't you tell us a little something about yourself right now, what you got going on with your stuff?
Man, I appreciate it, man. Like you said, I got so much going on. But originally, I am from Southern California. Last couple years of high school was in Richmond, Virginia, which led me to go to Hampton University, the HU, where I became really good friends with my freshman roommate, which is how I know DJ Tito. That relationship came there. And when I left there, I had family in Houston as well as back home in L.A., and I decided to come to Houston, which was, I think, DJ Tito got out here maybe like 6 months before I came out here. So we essentially kind of came to Texas together. But since then, man, when I first came out of here, I was in retail. That's where I actually met my lovely wife, was in retail. But since then, I've kind of stepped away out of retail, and I've been doing the commercial insurance for the past 4 or 5 years now, doing outside sales. But in addition to my 9 to 5 being in the insurance space, I have a product that I'm coming out with, which is a luxury candle line for men, as well as women, but I'm definitely catered towards the guys, called Wix and Vibes, W-I-X. So that should be coming available here, hopefully in April, just trying to get everything finalized, make sure that's buttoned up. I do some reselling on the side on Amazon and eBay, so trying to flip things and make some money in addition to, because 2020, I like to say, was the year of the hustler. So if you were, you know, kind of in your bag and you realized that you needed to have more than one stream of income, you tried to figure out the best way to do so. So some of the guys that I have strong relationships and friendships with, we all kind of rallied together and created an ecosystem where we help one another become the best resellers as possible. And like I said, other than that, you know, I got a couple of podcasts going on and just trying to be productive every single day.
Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing. Now, let me ask you about the candle business.
Yes, sir.
How did you get into the candle business?
Man, that's a great question. So the reason I even got into the candle business was I was doing the reselling, and the reselling was going fantastic, and it still is going fantastic. For me, it's been about 10 months now, but it was going great, and there's ebb and flows with that. You know, some products do well at certain times of the year. Some of them don't do so well. But I started to really fall in love with just that income coming in. So I wanted to keep that going. So I said, what's the best way for me to keep that coming in without relying on what's hot right now? Me trying to source something and flip that online is a great option. But wouldn't it be better if I had my own product that I can draw attention to and bring some heat to, that I can sell, that I can do something on a daily basis or a monthly basis or whatever the case may be, that can still bring and yield that kind of return? So, you know, I kind of just sat with myself and said, what is a product that I can come up with that I can, that has some pretty low overhead? I don't have to hire too many people, but let me see if I can create a hobby into a business. And the candles is one thing that came to mind. So I got the kit, wanted to see if it's something that I felt like I can do long term. And it turns out that it was. So I just started putting more heat to that, invested some money in that, got the LLC, got the domain, got everything coming. So, you know, hopefully in the next, you know, 60 days, I can birth a product for everyone to consume. That's something that I like, I appreciate. I think that it's an untapped market in the way that I'm going to execute it. So I'm super passionate and super happy about that.
You know what? I was just going to mention that because the candle business is big, but I know I didn't know. I didn't see where there was a niche market for men but I have an appreciation for good smelling candles. So
absolutely.
You definitely thought outside the box with that right there, because you could pretty much dominate that space.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I like candles. The candles really just, if I like it, then cool. My wife come home with some different candles, which is also just as cool as well. But at the same time, the people that you see selling these candles or marketing these candles are women, probably selling to women. But, you know, as men, we want to make sure our home and our space is just as cozy as the next guys or even better. And really, I just feel like there was no one that looked like me that was black, young, kind of in shape, that is taking on an industry that is predominantly dominated by females, but putting their own twist to it. And for me, you know, the best way I can think about it is when I think about the movie Boomerang. For all those who haven't seen it, please go see Boomerang. It's an old movie from the 90s with Eddie Murphy. But when you see Boomerang and you watch Robin Givens about to come into his condo in his space, and he got the music, he got the food, he got everything laid out. For me, it's like, what did it smell like? Like, he had all the vibes was ready, but damn, what did it smell like? I mean, we know he was cooking, so for me, it's like, you know, I want to create that. I want to have a line of candles that's going to create that vibe. You can have everything ready to go, but when she walks into your space, she needs to be like, oh, like, this is, he put some thought into the way that it smells. You know, we gotta be able to attack all five senses.
You know, I'm noticing the more we're talking here is that you're not just really selling candles though, or you're not
absolutely not.
You are actually selling yourself. Definitely selling yourself, man. Because
I'm selling myself, and I don't feel like I'm selling a product. What I really want to cater to, and what I want, and what I think how our generation and individuals like me shop, we're not necessarily looking for the product. We want the result of the product. Yeah, you can sell me X. Yeah, I might need that, but what is that going to do for me? Mm-hmm. You can sell me this dumbbell, but what is this dumbbell? Oh, if I use this dumbbell this way and I start to exercise and get ripped, you know, maybe someone might find me a little bit more attractive with that. So I think for me, in the way that in people that I hang out with, yes, we enjoy the product, but what is that product going to do for me?
Nice.
And that's the way I want to attack it.
You know? Nice.
I think we want the results of it, not just the product itself.
Also, one thing that I realized in the vlog is that you really don't have any wasted moments. Like, there's a symbiotic relationship from everything you do from the moment that you wake up in the morning until it's time for you to go to bed. There's a purpose and there's a function. There's a functionality to everything you do in that process, man. I think it's amazing. It's definitely, I mean, you were kind of hard on yourself in the beginning in your first episode, but it's good stuff. Very, very good stuff, man. And as an uncle to my young nephew here, and I gave him props earlier. I gave him all them props earlier. Yeah. What I saw somewhere on Facebook, a quote that was allegedly attributed to Denzel Washington. And it said that if you hang out with five lazy people, you're going to be the sixth lazy person.
Ooh.
If you hang out with five motivated people, you're going to be the sixth motivated person. Okay? So I'm very appreciative of the fact that my nephew was able to build relationships with individuals such as yourself. And he's a self-motivated dude. He's got good things going. This is a dude that can make money as well. So once again, like I said, as harsh as, and I just turned 50 this past month.
Looking good.
Yeah, well, I'm not feeling good, man. The stuff is, stuff is not working the way it used to work back in the days.
Stop it.
But I will say this. We always frown upon the younger generation because we don't like how they wear their clothes or we don't like their music. I'm trying to change that, and we need to focus on how you guys are knowing how to flip cash. It is amazing and outstanding. And I could always look, I always try to look to learn to the younger generation.
Man, iron sharpens iron, you know what I mean? So if I got the game, you know, I want to give it to those very close to me. And, you know, I believe that along with what you said, that quote that from Denzel, you know, a lot of people say you're the sum of all your friends, you know, show me who your friends are, I'll show you who you're going to be in X amount of years. Which there's a lot of truth to that, you know, I don't claim to be the smartest or in my group or think that way, but you know, there's some areas that I may be a little bit sharper than some of them, and some of them they may be sharper than me in certain areas. Obviously, the same way with DJ Tito, you know, if I learn something or if I'm exposed to something, I'm trying to bring him along, and he's doing the same with me. So
that's excellent.
As long as we in that, we keep that vibe and we want to see each other win, you know, there is no monkey or crab in the barrel type of syndrome going on.
Exactly.
Over here. You know, we want to go together.
Steel sharpens steel. So anyway,
absolutely.
let's get into this right now.
Man, let's go.
First off, let's talk about this Super Bowl. Extremely disappointing. I am the number one Tom Brady hater. Okay. I hate Tom Brady. Hate him with a passion. But my hatred stems from complete and total respect, because nobody hates on Patrick Ewing because he never won shit.
In full transparency, Melvin is a Raider fan, so I'll leave it at that.
Yes, because I'm
gonna dig into that.
I also learned that because his dog is named Raider, which is actually a pretty damn good name. I was thinking when I get a dog, I was thinking about naming him Giant, but that doesn't really have the same effect. But
that's kind of dope too, though. You know, as long as you don't have a little miniature like Yorkie.
No, I'm thinking
like Chandler.
No, I'm actually thinking of Giant from the Spike Lee movie, More Better Blues. So anyway, one of the things that came up, and I mean, listen, it was complete total domination. It was disappointing, but I recently said that I said Tom Brady is the goat of goats.
Mm.
So Michael Jordan was the goat of goats. And I said, you know what? Tom Brady, I think he surpassed him with this victory with Tampa Bay. What say you?
You want me to go?
Yes, sir. Most definitely.
So I will say I have never been a Tom Brady supporter in any shape, form, or fashion. Stemming from the Tuck rule back in the early 2000s with, you know, Charles Woodson in that snow game and that whole Tuck rule. So I've never been a Patriots fan, did not like Tom Brady, can always appreciate him, but, you know, him going to Tampa Bay and seeing what he was able to do, going to a new conference, a new division, new team, new everything, take them to the Super Bowl and win it. I think at this point you have to at least tip your hat off and say, you know what, even if I don't like him, you have to appreciate what he did. From we can say all the things that happened with the cheating and Deflategate and all those things. Like, for you to get jumped into a new system and you was able to bring along other individuals, whether it's AB or Gronk or, you know, all these other people that came on board after he agreed to come to Tampa, and he brought those guys with him and made the other people around him better. Man, he has to be the GOAT. Now, you know, again, I'm not a huge Tom Brady fan for a lot of other different reasons outside of just the sport of football. But I can look at it and just be a realistic, like, yo, I cannot hate. He's done things that I don't know anybody else that could do. And the GOAT of GOATs, when it comes to that individual and his sport and what they were able to do, I mean, he has to be in that conversation if he's not the GOAT of GOATs. You know, I can't sit here and have an argument against what you're saying, because he's – I mean, what else does he have to prove? Like, if the Deflategate was one of the things that we had to knock him on, he went to a whole new team where that probably wasn't as possible as it was with the Patriots. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
All that is fair. I one of the things that I throw into this discussion, listen, once again, and I wish he had never – this man could easily be, well, no, he was going to win this one and he had that game locked against the Rams, but he could easily be 2-8 just as easily as he could be 10-0 in the Super Bowls. It's amazing. He was one possession away from winning all those three Super Bowls that he lost. Yeah. Drew Brees is done. And Drew Brees came after him. Phillip Rivers is done. Phillip Rivers came after him. Eli Manning is done. Came after him. Ben Roethlisberger is washed and should be done shortly. This man is going to contend, is probably going to be the favorite for the Super Bowl next year. It's incredible.
But look what he did with his body. Like him, LeBron James, when you talk about the GOATs, now you start talking about people that are starting to play at a high level at their age, but how much did they invest into their bodies? Like LeBron James and Tom Brady, they invest their overhead for their body is like $1 million. That's between nutritionists, personal trainers, masseuse, like everything that they do. Like, they're putting all the good stuff into their body so that they can keep playing the way that they're playing.
Yeah, and
Tom Brady, he never got hit like some of those other guys that you said, because he was.
And I'm sure they could write that off as well. Just keep that up. That's for the business aspect.
Hey, that's a business.
That's a business aspect. That's a business. Business.
Yeah, exactly.
So Tito, man, what say you on that? And who do you think is the GOAT? I had a list of who I thought was the GOAT in every sport. I had that listed down. Now for me,
I can go for that
now,
too.
I have Michael Jordan, hands down. We have Wayne Gretzky in hockey, Tom Brady in basketball, Serena Williams in tennis, Tiger Woods in golf, boxing, Floyd Mayweather.
Ooh, that pained you.
Yeah,
ooh,
it did.
I can see. You need an Advil.
Because I am not a Floyd. But think about it. Think about it. This man has been the highest grossing boxer of all time. And Floyd Mayweather said something that rang true to me. He said, if you was a parent and you had a child that was in this sport, you would want him to be like me. Because I make the most money and I don't get hit. So Floyd Mayweather will never suffer from Parkinson's disease. Not from boxing. The greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali, God rest his soul. Yeah, he you know.
You have to and you know I love boxing, and I'm not gonna go on a tangent, right? But you have to remember, and this is what I always tell people, you have to blame the sport. Don't blame Floyd Mayweather. If the sport of boxing really felt true about changing that culture, about making it a business first and ducking and selecting your opponents, fucking change it. Turn that shit into a fucking bracket. Have a playoff. You don't do that because they care about the bag.
Yeah, so definitely.
So if I know that I can go in the ring and fucking get hit three times and you know what I'm saying, and finesse my way through my career, I'm going to do that shit too.
Of course, man.
As much as a dickhead that he is, that's the dude, you can't hit him.
And I've heard through the grapevine, that Floyd Mayweather doesn't really love boxing the way you think he would love boxing. He absolutely doesn't. Like a friend of mine told me, he was in Vegas, and he happened to be in the store when they shut it down when he went shopping. So he said, "What's up?" Whatever. And he got to talking with his bodyguard, and his bodyguard was like, "Yeah, he." He tried to have a conversation with him about boxing, and the bodyguard was like, Yeah, Floyd's not really into boxing the way you think he might be into boxing. Like, it's his job and he's good at it, but he's not someone that goes and likes talking about it. Mm. You know?
Interesting.
Like Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson Mike Tyson is like a historian type, but Floyd's not, that's not his thing.
I think it may have to do with, I mean, you can't say it for every boxer, but because of the preparation that goes into it. I mean, that's probably one of the sports that you have one of the most intense, grueling. I mean, you put so much punishment on your body because, I mean, you have to drop weight so fast. You can't eat certain shit. You know, the sparring that you have to do. So after a while, when your age catches up to you, and I mean, you may not be as excited to go to training camp as you once were when you were young.
You want
to
enjoy those
taxing. That's taxing on the body.
You want to enjoy those millions. I mean, I've seen videos of boxers. Like, I remember Meldrick Taylor was an up and coming boxer, and he took Chavez to the 12th round, and Richard Steele called that fight with 2 seconds left. When Meldrick Taylor was clearly winning on every card and he called a fight. If you see Meldrick Taylor from back then till his most recent interview, it's like two totally different human beings. The dude is punch drunk. And the fact that they still give this man a license to box is criminal. Completely criminal.
The sport doesn't care, man. It's all about the bottom dollar with them.
Oh, and I forgot.
Always have been.
I forgot to mention in baseball, which is a little bit less reliant on championships. I think the GOAT is tied between Ken Griffey Jr. and, yes, Barry Bonds.
I take Barry Bonds out of it.
I don't. Because Barry
he's a dirty player.
Let me tell you something. Barry Bonds was the best player in baseball before he even injected a steroid into his body.
He was. But how do we know he wasn't taking shit?
He was. Listen, there's a distinct delineation from the time when he wasn't taking steroids. You're looking at the change. Yeah, there's a distinct delineation. And let me tell you something. For someone who cheated, okay, he definitely got the most out of those steroids, more than anybody else.
Yeah.
So you saying you could be a GOAT by taking steroids? Almost.
No.
You saying that's the GOAT? If you saying it's the GOAT of that sport, then. You're basically saying that you can be the GOAT and taking steroids.
No.
You have to look at their whole body of work.
No, you look at his body of work as far as like the Hall of Fame, because I know he's probably never going to make the Hall of Fame. What I'm saying is that Barry Bonds is one of the greatest players of all time before he even
he was nice.
I'm not saying he wasn't nice, but I'm saying if he got – basically what you're saying is he got injured and could not play the sport of baseball, he would still be considered the greatest of all time?
I would consider him the greatest of all time.
I don't watch enough baseball to even have a dog in this fight. I can't even name 20 baseball players, period. I don't watch it anymore.
But Ken Griffey Jr. back in his days.
Let me tell you something. For a man who never popped on a test, and if you look at that motherfucker's numbers, he's great.
Ken Griffey Jr.
I don't know, and I'm in the same boat with Melvin. I mean, I used to love baseball.
You lose the love eventually, man.
Well, I think when I moved to Houston, I was an NBA head. When I moved here, it's such a football town. I think it just naturally at everything. I'm all NFL, like hands down. Like I don't care about nothing else. NFL. And then I'll catch the NBA midseason on, but I'm straight NFL. I don't care about no other sport. And boxing.
You need to get into college football, but that's neither here nor there, man. I'm telling you. You need to get into college football.
So real quick, I'm going to touch on it because I don't want to hold it up. So as far as the question of the GOATs of GOATs, first of all, fuck Tom Brady.
I agree on that.
Now I can get started. So look, I'm one of those people. I used to hate Michael Jordan as well because I'm a Charles Barkley fan, right? So, of course, he was one of the dudes that prevented my guy from getting a ring, right? I learned to grow and appreciate Michael Jordan because, I mean, he was undeniably the greatest basketball player that I've ever personally seen watch play the game. I mean, the things that he just used to do, right? Same thing with Tom Brady. As much as I dislike the Patriots, I mean, they used to say that he was a system quarterback. He left the Patriots. It got a little rough in Tampa Bay where I did question it, but once what's Tampa Bay's coach? It's escaping me right now. Bruce Arians.
Kind of gave
him more autonomy. You can just tell. I mean, the team bought into his whole aspect, and that team was firing on all cylinders. Would I consider him the GOAT of GOATs? This is going to be another biased statement. I think if he wins it next year, I know you're going to say I'm full of shit. But,
but who's the go-to ghost if it's not
Brady,
him?
If Tom Brady wins, if Tom Brady takes Tampa Bay to another Super Bowl and they wins it next year, I'll give him the nod over Jordan. As of today,
I don't think he has to do that.
As of today, it's still Michael Jordan for me. Because this is a debate. Excuse me, y'all. This is a debate that I get into it with a lot of people, right? It's almost like the hip-hop debate. Like when you're classifying MCs and stuff like that. Are you talking about purely the music? Are you talking about the impact? So if we're just talking about purely accolades and stats and things like that,
yeah.
I think one more season of Tom Brady. I think if he does it next year, I think he'll do it for me. Because I'm looking at the side-by-side stats right now, right? So Tom Brady played an extra five seasons other than Jordan. So if, Jordan has 15, Brady has 20. Jordan has six rings, Brady has seven. Finals appearances, Jordan has six, Brady has 10. So Jordan, bro, so every
I don't even know if you got to listen to this.
Hold on.
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Hold on. Hold on. Every finals appearance that Jordan went to, he won, okay? He never failed in the finals, okay? So that's something that he does have over time, okay? Mm-hmm. Finals MVP won. I don't know if you that's bullshit, whatever, right? They both went to two teams. Now here's where the biggest difference is. When Jordan went to the Wizards, he ain't do shit. He was pretty much washed, right? People said Brady was washed. Apparently he's not as washed as people think he is, right? So that's something to look out for. And then the rest, I'm not going to even talk about the All-Star.
I'm going to say this. Hold on. Let me just say this one thing. This is why what you're saying is so ridiculous that it's like
I'm biased.
It's not even being biased. Now you're just trying to – you're pulling at straws just to make a point. Like, Jordan was on a team where they had – how many people was on a basketball team? Like, was it like 12? Like, how many people do they really have? Like, Jordan can take over a game, and he can talk to everybody. And he can make every single person on that court that he's playing with better. Tom Brady is one person of 22 people that has to be on the team. Like, you have offense and the defense. He has nothing to do with the defense. The defense can, like, shit the bed every single time they're on the field, and he still has to overcome that. Like, that's why, that's two different conversations where now you're just picking apples and oranges trying to compare. But it's, I think it's way harder to win an NFL championship to win an NBA championship, in my opinion, simply because – now you're trying to say one person is the reason why you can win a championship, where, yes, one individual like a quarterback is the driving factor in winning that championship. However, there are so many other factors that come into you winning an NFL championship that it isn't the same like it is in basketball, period. Like,
but,
it's just an unfair comparison.
Okay, but then this is a comparison for both of them, right? Nod to both of them. You take both of them off of those teams, and not talking about Tampa Bay. We're talking about the Patriots and the Bulls. You take both of them off of those teams. I don't know if those teams even win trips.
100%. But all I'm saying is you can't sit here and compare championships and MVPs to one another when there's so many more layers in the NFL than there is in basketball to compare stats versus stats. That is just – right, doesn't make much sense.
Because it's a different game.
Well,
okay.
I'm going to throw something else in there. I'm going to throw something else in there to add to Tom Brady's legacy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Well, think about this. Michael Jordan was the third pick in a draft. Probably should have been the second. Should have been playing for Portland. But the fact that Michael Jordan went on to be the greatest player of all time in the history of the NBA – I mean, it might have come as a surprise to some people, but the fact that he became great wasn't a surprise. Tom Brady.
You think so?
No. Everybody knew Michael Jordan was going to be great. Nobody knew he was going to be this great, but they knew he was going to be great. Do you know about Michael Jordan that his scoring average dropped nearly every full season he had up until his last year with the Bulls, yet he led the league in scoring every full season? Despite the fact that his scoring average kept on dropping, it's amazing. But to Tom Brady's climb to the top was much steeper than Michael Jordan's. He was the 199th pick. He was the 199th pick. He came off the bench, won his first Super Bowl, won another two back-to-back. Okay, he was a really good quarterback, but I don't know if he was a Hall of Famer yet. It was after that he transformed himself into a statistical monster. And the only time he actually played with a true number one wide receiver was with Randy Moss. And they didn't win jack shit with Randy Moss.
They went to the show, but they lost.
Oh, yeah, they lost. And they only put up 14 points. But, I mean, he's doing amazing things, you know. So let's hope that they just miss the playoffs altogether next year, because I'm still hating on their asses. I don't want to see none of that.
We'll have to expand this conversation to them, because there's so much I want to say.
Okay, but now really quick, because it's amazing, because I got the both of y'all on my screen, and both of y'all come from organizations with excellence of execution and history and all here this shit. But Tito, what's it like knowing that your owner is becoming Al Davis? And when I say that, I'm talking senile.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace to Al Davis. But this is what I'm telling y'all. Y'all got these people. Y'all got these old people running shit. Y'all can't have it, because the senility starts creeping in and they start getting crotchety and they want to do things their way, man.
So let me say this. And you guys know the type of Cowboy fan I am. I don't let the Cowboys ruin my day. I take the wait and see approach. I can tell y'all numerous of times where I'll look at that screen and I'll see my team up with a lead and we just come back and blow it. Or I'll see games where we're losing by fucking four touchdowns and all of a sudden here comes 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter and we wanted to start playing and we lose by fucking 3 points. The common denominator within our organization is the ownership. And sad to say, God forgive me for saying this, but I think until that tide shifts, right, I think it's going to be more of the same from us. I mean, it just is what it is.
Melvin, what say you on that about the Raiders, man?
Man, I'm a diehard Raider fan. Rest in peace to Al Davis. He did a lot for the organization.
Yes, he did.
He was getting old. Our ship is definitely turning around now that we're in Vegas. We have some I wish we had a better year, but the year was what it was. I think we could have made a little bit better push than we did. But looking at, like you said, with the Cowboys, that's just a bad situation out there. Cowboys,
thanks, man.
For me, looking at that, that's just bad. I don't like the owner for so many different reasons. You can take it on the field, off the field.
Yeah.
You name it. I don't know. I don't want to say nothing bad because I don't have nothing good to say, but
How do you feel about the move to Vegas, man?
I'm cool with it because, one, growing up in Southern California, the Raiders were there, so I was able to go to the games there. But they had came from Oakland, so they went back to Oakland. It was still in California, Oakland Raiders. For me, my grandma lives in Vegas, so for me to go to Vegas is super easy. I can see her. I can go to the games. We're accustomed. I mean, I'm used to them moving, so it isn't nothing new. Okay. So still a fan. The stadium looks super dope, so I can't wait to get out there next season to go to a game.
Yeah.
But for me, it's good.
Yeah, we definitely want to catch a game out there. That's something that's on my bucket list. I want to go to a couple of stadiums, NFL stadiums. And I don't want to go to Green Bay. You know, definitely don't want to go there. But LV is definitely a spot for a weekend just to catch a game. I'm a little bit too old to hang out in Las Vegas anymore. But
never too old to hang out in Vegas. Vegas is for everybody,
right?
Depends.
You can find something. Yeah. My grandma's playing bingo
now. I'll go see the dam. That's pretty much it. That's my speed, man.
Hey, it's still for you then. Vegas is for everybody.
But he say that now. Watch COVID die. But like, yo, where are we going to Vegas? Yeah.
But yo, check this out. Let's get into this hip hop shit, Melvin.
Yes, sir.
Melvin, you are finally someone who has an unbiased look at least not with the particular arrogance that we come with into the game of hip hop. Now,
yes, sir.
Growing up, I remember the first time we met, we was in a hotel room and we were talking top five. We were talking about
the Bellagio
buffet.
We were talking top five, you know, and I don't remember whose is what, but I mean, like you had your, you came strong with your shit, man. I remember, there's this dude named Josh Prey, right? I don't know if you heard of him. He's got his own little stuff. He was talking to one of his boys. He was like, yeah, you know, Nelly's favorite. He's like, Nelly? How is Nelly? He's like, man, you can't say nothing about no Nelly. And he says, Nelly had the whole country talking about a drive-by, and they didn't even know it. I'm going downtown, baby. Yo Street in a Range Rover. And I forgot the rest of the lyrics, but he's basically describing a drive-by, and he had Middle America singing it. So when you could come with a perspective like that, I'm like, oh, okay. I was talking KRS-One. Is it like, who? Who? So Mel, let me hear your influences, man.
Man, I couldn't say top five. I do recall that conversation because it's something that Tito and I kind of refer back to at least once a year at some point. But just to let people in on that inside joke, so it was a conversation. We was talking about Jay-Z and Lil Wayne. And at the time, I was very heavily like Lil Wayne and his influence on the culture, this, this, and that. And it was going back and forth, which I can still make a little bit of an argument. But, man, when it comes – are you asking me to break down my top five?
Listen, however you want. It doesn't have to be in any particular order. Just an insight on, like, let us know – you know, what vibes with you?
Or top three.
Or top three, whatever.
I mean, if we had to go top anything when it comes to the music realm, I would, for me, I would definitely have to put Jay-Z at the top. After Jay-Z, then I would have to go, take Jay-Z is number one. After that, in no particular order, for me, Snoop has to be in there somewhere. Tupac has to be in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's cliche because when you start talking about the top, it's like always going to be the same. But I definitely feel very strong about Big, Nas for me. I think that I would have to put Busta Rhymes in there somewhere. Oh, I'm really going like top 10. Really.
Oh, wow. That's.
I would have to put Busta Rhymes in there somewhere.
That's interesting because as much as I love Busta, and our first episode, I think, or our second episode involved talking about Busta. Uh-huh. But I never thought to put him in the top 10. But that's
and he has a strong good body of work, yes, and he's done a lot for the culture. Yes, he's done a lot for the culture. And respectfully, when I was able to listen to even more of him when he was on Drink Champs, just about his pen and how he approaches it, that's all him. Mm-hmm. He wrote those. If he didn't write it, it wasn't going on the track. So. You definitely got to respect that.
I see there's going to be an interesting segue when we start talking about the pen game soon.
Yeah, because, that's going to be an interesting segue when we talk about the pen game. But I'm not sure what number I'm on, but those are definitely going to be my influences for, like, a top five, top ten when you talk about rap. Like, and it has to be someone that obviously, for me, because I feel like I'm in that demographic, I'm in that culture, I'm in the generation where I was able to see a little bit of the old as well as a little bit of the new. Mm-hmm. So I'm like the generation on the edge.
Okay.
To where I know like some of the late 80s, early 90s, but still very current about Pooh Shiesty and what's going on right now. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
I have to always respect those who really did write their own lyrics.
I 100% agree with that.
I have to.
I definitely.
But agree. I understand how we consume music now and how you have to churn out so much music that, you know, maybe getting some assistance here and there for just sheer, like, being able to put stuff out. Mm-hmm. I get it. But I'm still like, if you have to be in the GOAT conversation of rap, we talk about the GOAT in sports, mm-hmm. but if you talk about the rap, I don't see how you can necessarily always put those individuals at the top if they weren't 100%, I won't say 100% because I understand how music works, but if they weren't 95% behind all of those lyrics.
So an asterisk.
So you're definitely not a fan of rainbow head idiots and mumble rappers.
I appreciate, I can respect
their hustle game.
Not from the rainbow hair.
No, not him.
But I can respect and appreciate how the tides are turning with the mumble rap that we like to call it. Because again, like when I look back on it, I look at it this way. So call it 2005, 2006, right? That's when smartphones, iPhones was out heavy, right? Now, some people that you did not see with iPhones was like my grandma, like they was a flip phone. You wasn't going to get them an iPhone no matter what you said. But iPhones was going to come. Smartphones was coming no matter what. they're what they are today. And guess what? My grandma has an iPad. She has a smartphone. Like, she's doing everything. So for me, the tide is always going to change. It's just a matter of at what point are you going to jump on? Like, my grandma was going to jump on an iPhone at some point. It's just a matter of what year she was going to do it. And the same with the rap and the music. Like, yeah, it's not going to be what it always once was, but it's going to change. At what point are you going to, like, put your hand up and be like, okay, it's good for what it is. I understand how the tides have changed. I can't shit on it too much, because if you do, then you're always going to be like how my grandmother was. No disrespect to my grandma, but you're always going to be like, I don't want no iPhone. Give me my flip phone. Well, grandma, at some point, you're going to have an iPhone.
Yeah.
At some point, you're going to have to listen to some of this music that's on the radio, because...
Exactly.
I mean, you can't always, you can always listen to what happened back in the early 90s, but at some point
you got
to
move on.
You just got to move. Yeah.
So I have that conversation often with my brother-in-law Way. I remember when the whole, you know, especially us living in Houston now, when the whole trap wave came down, we kind of were the ones like, "Oh, fuck that. That shit is garbage, you know."
Yeah.
Whatever. Where we going to listen to our old school 90s, stuck in the 90s? And it's like, I think partly because it's so much in your face and the music gets churned out so quickly, I'm not going to say that you necessarily concede and say, okay, fuck it, I got to listen to it. But I've learned, right, because I DJ on the side, but I've learned that you have to listen to stuff for what it is, right? Mm-hmm. So if I go to listen to Nas and Tupac and, you know what I'm saying, and AZ or somebody like that, I'm listening to it because I listen to music based off of my mood, right? So if I'm gonna listen to that, I'm listening to that for substance, for lyrics. I'm looking for something deeper in the music. Now, I listen to it, and I get into this argument with my brother, Danny. And Danny's actually younger than me. I like Chicago drill music. That's one of the most ignorant type of hip-hop that you could ever listen to. But I listen to it because sometimes I might be in a hype mood. I'm trying to get myself hype. And I don't take what they say for face value. I'm not a gang member. I haven't done none of that shit. Mm-hmm. So I've learned to appreciate music for what it is, right? And yeah. I guess this will be the perfect segue to bring this up, because this is something that Dwiz and I was discussing to bring it up. So Funkmaster Flex, as of late, well, for a while, he's been taking a lot of shots at Jay-Z, right? So apparently it's because he didn't get invited to the Rock Nation brunch and a whole bunch of shit, right? So basically, Funk Flex goes off on his rant and he says that Jay-Z's sensitive. That's why he's not on Instagram. He can't take the comments and blah blah blah. He's not relevant anymore.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
There's an episode where he went on $1 million worth of game with Gilly the Kid and Wallow, and I listened to that interview. Yeah, that bananas. So Gilly doesn't hold his tongue. He's basically saying, yo, how the fuck can you say that about your man Jay-Z when I remember driving from Philly and that motherfucker would drop an album, and from the point I would leave from fucking Philly to when I lost service on the New Jersey Turnpike, regained service and got to fucking New York, you were still playing that nigga's records. And now all of a sudden you telling me that nigga's irrelevant? So then Flex said something, which I've been telling people this too. Flex is strategic. I think Flex does things for attention and to keep himself relevant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that he has some of those opinions? Absolutely. But those rants and things like that, that's part of his strategy to keep people coming to his show, because they know he's going to say some off-the-wall shit, right?
Of course, yeah.
So to get to the subject at hand. So basically, what Flex came out and said is that he believes that if this whole Quentin Miller situation didn't happen with Drake, that Drake would surpass Jay-Z as the greatest of all time. I don't know what to say about that. I wasn't really a supporter of Drake. I didn't get the singing and going back and forth. But when you sit down and you look at that man's body of work and his music,
it's incredible.
That motherfucker puts out great music. There's a lot of songs that I may not vibe to because it might be too emo for me, right? But the music and from the production that he's put out, he's consistent.
It's incredible.
And he hasn't had, I haven't seen anything that, I haven't seen him had a downtime.
Let me ask you a question.
His run is going to go bananas.
When was the last time Drake didn't have any relevancy? Like, we could talk what we want.
That's what I'm saying.
We could talk about Jay-Z, but Jay-Z for me, when it comes to putting out music, doesn't hold the same level as he did when he was at his pinnacle.
But he's not. Another thing about Jay, you got to remember too. I don't think Jay is necessarily catering to the youth. I think he's sticking with his core fans.
Of course.
And he's trying to drop gems now because, you know, he's thinking a little bit differently. So he's like, maybe if I drop some these gems and I start thinking about things, talking about things more consciously, which allegedly he said he wanted to do early in his career, but he knew he couldn't make moves, that hopefully some of these youngsters will catch on to it. I'll give you an example that I always bring up. I went to my first Jay-Z concert here in Houston, believe it or not.
Wow.
And one of the opening acts was Young Jeezy. And needless to say, to me, the reaction that Young Jeezy got when he came out versus Jay-Z, I had to look and I said to myself, yo, the tides are fucking changing. Not for real. And don't
I think I was
wrong.
At that concert.
And don't
I think I was
wrong.
At that concert.
Jay got love. Don't get me wrong. Jay
got love.
The show was retarded.
But the energy...
I'm looking at the cats that's younger than me and just the energy, like you can just tell, like he's getting to that level now where it's kind of like, okay, you know, he's more of in a different niche now. You understand what I'm saying?
Correct. But that's a little bit why it's unfair. For one, so going back to everything that you said, I saw that interview and I think Funk Flex is a troll in a lot of different ways. But also, just like you said, he just want to bring heat to his platform and try to stay relevant and this and that and say some stuff that is going to get a bunch of clicks. Drake, he puts out hits. He cannot not make a hit. Like, it's hard. He knows how to put out a hit, but also he has a lot of people in his pocket that helps him out with a lot of that stuff, in my opinion, just from what have been able to hear. But also, like, I think for me, it's kind of hard to say he's going to surpass Jay in that conversation simply because I feel like Jay... it's a pun, but Jay has really mapped out the blueprint. Like, he put it for, like, anything that Drake has doing is because he's able to see what Jay has doing, mm-hmm. has done already. So he's able to walk that path and be like, you know, I'm gonna do what he did, but do it just a little bit better. I'm gonna tweak it here and there. I'm gonna tweak it, which is fine. But also, I think he's a little bit more relevant now simply because he's still young. Like Drake is still young enough to be able to be on top for like another 10 years. Like, Jay is getting older, and to your point, yes, some people are just not going to mess with him just because he's not catering to or he's making music that's catering to that audience. Like, I know I'm on here with some authentic New York guys, so for me, I could not get into KRS-One or Rakim the same way y'all could. For me, it's always been like, put on Tupac, put on Snoop, put something else. Like,
that's real.
Even like AZ or Big L, like, those are super lyricists that I can respect from now at this age, but when they was out growing up in Southern California, we wasn't bumping that. We didn't want to hear Big L or AZ the way it wasn't the same pocket for us. So I look at that the same way that someone growing up in Atlanta, they probably rather hear a Drake than a Jay-Z talk about 444, his last album that he put out that for me, I was able to hear growth and learn new things from his music. And I know I think he got a song coming out on Friday, a part of the soundtrack for that Judas movie that's coming out. So I'm excited to hear about, you know, that verse that he laid down, because I think he on a track with Nipsey, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, it goes back to the same conversation we had to start when we talk about the sports and we talk about Brady and then we talk about Michael Jordan and all these other individuals. It's kind of like, yes, I think Drake has to be in the GOAT conversation because he's elevated music to a whole new level. But for me right now to say that he's going to pass Jay is like, what? Jay is so inflammatory. Like, he can say anything and it's going to pop. Like, people stop sagging and start wearing button-ups and wearing like dress socks with their sneakers and jeans because he did it in the video. Like, he really did elevate the culture. He made us start thinking more. He probably made some people start buying art. He probably made people start thinking about their credit score and buying real estate. Like, he's so influential in that way that I can't see how that can't go into an account. Like, I don't feel like Drake has done that the way that Jay has. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been more about the music with Drake. So let me say this real quick, Juan, before you go, because this, I almost crashed my car when I was listening to this shit. So Flex made a comment on that same interview, bro, that It was funny, but then I had to stop and think about it. So Flex came, yo, with a straight face, said out of his mouth, he said that rappers over 35, okay, should not be putting out albums. So they were like, what? He said, yo, Gilly, these cats haven't been standing in the corner long enough for me to believe them. They need to just put out EPs. What do you feel about that?
I'm going to refer to what Melvin said earlier, that Flex is a damn troll, okay?
Trolling.
And he needs to make sure he keeps his hands off women before he starts flapping his gums. Because listen, I'm not a fighter, okay? And that's not me. I'm just saying Flex don't strike me as the type of dude that's nice with the hands, you know what I mean? So for you to be out here flapping your gums, you know, talking about what rappers need to be doing and not be doing, I mean.
But wait, hold on. So I'm going to defend them real quick. One thing I will say about Flex, and I've noticed this over the last few years, is that he is giving a lot of light to the younger rappers. Now, he is biased. Who he doesn't like, you can tell he doesn't like. He won't play that music, whatever, right? But he's giving a lot of light to the younger rappers, which I definitely tip my hat off to him for that. He made another comment. He said, the OGs need to realize that it's a different game now. Look at these youngsters. They're coming out with fucking music
every week.
They go to the studio and they laying down fucking 15, 20 tracks a night.
Understand what I'm saying? Yeah, on a GarageBand app on their phone.
Exactly. So these OGs need to understand that it's a different game. They need to be inspired by this instead of hating on the young on the young cats.
Yeah.
When he said that, I said, okay, now he's coming. Yeah, now he took himself out of the troll.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying earlier in the podcast, man. You know, like I know I'm old, so I'm like set in my ways, and I'm like I'm not fucking with that. I'm like, you know what?
I used to be the same way. I used to be the same way.
Man, I've been there for a minute, bro. Well, first off. Another thing, Flex needs to just stop talking over the record and fucking stop playing it over and over again. Yo, I went to a club one time in Connecticut, right? And Flex was performing, right? So you know I had to pay the cover charge because Flex was up in there, all right? He showed up late. And then on top of that, Connecticut closes everything down at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's not 4 o'clock in the morning. It's 2. So don't you know this fool, Flex? It's a club. So play the music. Play club music. I love Wu-Tang, but don't play Wu-Tang in the club. That's not the place where you want to hear it. Then a good song would come on,
bang, bang.
And he would cut it off. He would talk over it and then put some other inappropriate shit on top of that. I don't think he's a great DJ in the sense of putting records together. I'm tired of his shit. Okay, he's more of a personality to me than a DJ. I'm just saying that's the going opinion of Flex. I mean, not for nothing. I got it. He's probably one of the most popular yet most hated DJs of all time.
Yep.
And
yep.
You know, and to talk about the differences in music and stuff like that. Like I remember me being young. And looking forward to a CD coming out, and I would go to Nobody Beats the Wiz. So that's a retailer we had Melvin in New York, where they would sell CDs at the time was like $21.99 or something like that.
Yeah, it was fucking expensive as hell, man.
Yo, so you would look forward to buying that CD, and you would open up the CD, and it had the artwork, and it had the lyrics, and you would hold on to that. Like that shit would last you for the whole summer, maybe into next year. Now, a song will come out, it'll pop, it'll chart on iTunes for 2-3 weeks. They coming out with another song, so music is very expendable now. It's not, it's a different game.
It's a different era. It's a different ball game. The artists don't even really make money from making music. They have to go touring. That's the thing, man.
You mean merch?
But they always had to go touring. They always had to have merch. I mean, so are you when you say that, and we all know that's what's going on now? Are you okay with the way that we consume music and we get in music real quick? We can't sit with it that long, or
I don't have a problem with it.
How do you feel about it?
So I don't have a problem with it because, like I was telling, I can't remember who I was having this conversation with. It was an old head, right? And I'm like, you got to remember, these cats are not necessarily making music for you, right? They're making music for.
I was the old head. It wasn't you. You did say that to me, though.
Me and you had that conversation, but I'm like, they're not making music for you. So if you don't like it, they don't care. They're looking at people who's going to buy their MP3s, who's going to buy that T-shirt, who's going to buy that hat, who's going to use their hashtag, who's going to buy a fucking ringtone if people still even do ringtones anymore. I'm sure my age there. You know what I'm saying? So it's more of a package thing. It's not. Yes, they used to tour and stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
To Melvin's point. But I think now it's more of a marketing scheme. Yes, you have the music, but behind that music, you're pulling so much other plays behind that music. Like you're generating so much fucking income. It's bananas. That's why a lot of these rappers don't necessarily need a label anymore.
See, but one thing I want to say too, real quick. I think it's so easy to fall on the sword of these young guys. You know, it's microwave. You know, they just want your music now. I'm gonna listen to it for a week, but I think that's everybody. I don't think it's just the young folks. I think it's the older folks too. Like, and I pose a question: like, when's the last time that a CD came out and you bumped it for 3, 4, 5, 6 months at a time? Like, we've been programmed as society, not just as an age group for the young. Like, even the old, like, old people on Facebook and Instagram, and we scrolling and we go on to the next thing. We scroll. Like, we've been conditioned over time as a human race to consume information at this rate. It isn't that it's the young people that did it, or, you know, all these old young people, and now here they are, everything is popcorn, they want it in and out. Look, everybody wants it in and out. Like, don't get me wrong, like, to this day, I am still bumping Victory Lap, because that was probably one of the greatest CDs that has come out in a long time. But I can bump Victory Lap probably 3 times in a row at the gym, after the gym, and just keep it going when I hop out my car and jump back in, a Bluetooth kick in, and it's back onto the track that's coming up next. So, yes, I do consume music and want to continue to listen to it. But at the same time, when a new CD come out and I listen to it once or twice, I am looking for the next one and the next one. But I do go back. But I just wanted to say that I'm just curious, because I don't think that it's a young thing. I think it's a society thing. Like, that's how we consume information, period, from TV to music to movies. Like, everything is, okay, I got it. What's next? Because you know why? We don't have to sit with anything anymore. We value our time. Like, I don't have to wait for a cab like we had to back in the day, because I can call an Uber. I don't have to sit here and watch a TV show when it comes on at 8 o'clock, because I can record it and watch it whenever I want to and fast forward through the commercials. Like, that's what we all wanted. We don't want to sit in and watch every commercial. Like, we want to consume things when we want to do it, and we want to consume how much of it we want to, and then we're off to the next thing. Mm-hmm.
I do agree with you to a certain extent. I don't know. I just feel like, and this is probably my old head hat is on right now, but I just feel like the younger generation, probably the cats before us, I think that their tolerance span and what they accept, I think it's a lot shorter than ours, I think. And I think that might have to do from, you know, with technology, with social media, I just think it's a different era. Me personally, that's why I listen to an album 3 times before I give my review, because I know my attention span just as a person is very, like, I could listen to something and just skip through and like, eh. But on that 3rd time, as I soak it in, I'm like, okay, you know, it is what it is. I just think that a lot of these young cats, and I'm not saying that to say something negative about them, but I just think that they're just looking for something fresh. They're looking for something to trend. They're looking for something to say, I was the first, or you late, or you just got that, or you late, blah, blah, blah. So,
but that's because of money, too. Like, if you can get as many followers and people looking, and you got the attention at that point, you're going to get to the bag a lot quicker. And that's what it all is. It's all about the attention. Like, if I can put out a song, and then my song is going to have the next TikTok challenge, and now that's going to spin so many times. Like, it's all about the attention. Like, if you have the attention now, how can I get it away from you? So I need to put out another song.
Like, think about this shit, right? And this is just me coming up with Tito facts. But it's going to make sense. It's going to make sense when I say it. So you go to sit down, you're buzzing, right? And you get a meeting with a record label. You go in there with your lawyer. Probably one of the top 5 questions that those motherfuckers at the label are going to ask you is, how many followers do you have on Instagram? That's crazy. Now, where the fuck is my music at? What producers I use? You know what I'm saying? Like,
But it's always been that. Like, you always wanted to have a buzz. Like, you know, the reason Master P was able to get his deal, because they say, oh, he's selling little records. Yeah, we'll give him that. It's not a lot. It's a little bit, but, right, you know, we'll give him that. Like, you name it, like, it's always been about who has the most attention right now. Rather, people are buying CDs at your trunk. Rather, you got the biggest billboard in town. It's like, who has the most eyeballs on them at any given time?
So, you're just saying it's different.
It's just changed. It's all the same. The medium has changed.
The medium has evolved.
Yes.
The people who are most successful and the people who are most successful are the ones that know how to navigate through these.
100%.
And those that can't, get left the fuck behind.
Get washed. And that's why you have some people like the flexes of the world that realize what's going on. So in order for me to get more eyeballs, I got to say some outlandish shit so I can get more people looking in. Guess what? I'm not really like your hottest DJ, but I'm more of a personality. I'm more of an entertainer at this point because you know what? That's going to pay my bills more than me being the best DJ around, period. Mm. Like DJ Envy with the Breakfast Club, they have how many followers? Like he can still get gigs because of he is more visible than your next DJ that's probably a better DJ than he is. And, you know, and the one thing I wanted to say when you talk about evolving and getting better, that's why I like the analogy with my grandma with the iPhone and stuff like that, because I use that and I think about that as I continue to get older in age, because we all getting older. I never really shit on what's current or what's new or what's hot. I try to say, okay, that's hot. Let me listen to it. Let me learn about it. Let me figure it out. Because I feel like at some point, that's going to be the norm. So it's either I get on it early or I get on it late. Either way, I'm going to get on the bus. And that's why, again, like when TikTok is out, let me go check out TikTok. When Clubhouse is hot, let me get on Clubhouse and get on there and not be late to the bus. When Pooh Shiesty is out and most people don't know who that is out of Memphis, I know who that is. And I'm not knocking his music. Let me just, okay, if that's what people consume and let me listen to it. Let me understand it. Why is it hot? Like, I don't want to be late to the bus. I feel like everybody at some point is going to be on that bus. And I think you're a lot better if you're on there first than last. And that's just the way that I approach it, because I want to get the iPhone out now. I don't want to get it when it's 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's just the way I view it.
That's real. But on a further note here, so how do y'all feel about keeping it with hip hop? How do y'all feel about, what is it, Kodak Black and Lil Weezy getting them pardons?
Hey, I'm going to say this. Let me go first on this. I'm going to say this. I've never been to jail. I don't plan on ever going to jail. I don't plan on being in a position where I have to fight for my freedom that way. But if any of those things were to happen, I got to say, I'm toss everything aside. Being a realist of anything is out the window. Who's ever, but I got to kiss at that given time for me to enjoy my freedom, I will. I.e., if I have to be chummy and taking a picture with Trump at that given time because I need to get my freedom, then guess what L I'm taking? I'm taking the Lil Wayne approach. I'm taking the photo, you know, Kodak Black got to say, hey, you know, and that's from that standpoint. You know, it'd suck if they didn't get a pardon and they did all those things, but I can't knock the next man that's facing some kind of imprisonment or incarceration.
Yeah, I can't do that either.
That's bad.
But in Lil Wayne's case, he wasn't in jail. He was just wanted to be, I guess it expunges it from his criminal record.
He was going to jail.
Really?
He caught a new charge.
He caught another charge?
Yes, he was pending.
That's how out of it I am, man.
He was on his way to jail. He was gonna go back.
So if you're on your way to jail, it's like, man, yeah. I can like go against the culture of my people and do this, or I can do that. And I would rather try to spend the rest of my life trying to get those followers, get the respect of those who think I shitted on them because I did whatever I had to do with who was the president at the time. Mm-hmm. I spent my lifetime trying to do that as a free man, as opposed to being a realist and don't want to do nothing in jail. So that's just my opinion.
Yeah, there's a lot of us in our community who just don't know how to navigate through the legal system. And if you got the power to get your freedom through that, like I have a friend of mine. I'm not trying to put his personal business out there. I won't name his name, but he wound up pleading guilty to a gun charge. Okay. What happens is that he had a zip gun and various other weapons that he carried on him. Mm-hmm. The prosecutor overcharges. They will always overcharge because they don't care about going to court. They just want convictions.
Yeah. Stats.
He pleaded guilty to a felony. But if you go to the New York law books, what he was guilty of was a misdemeanor. So he wound up pleading guilty, served no time in jail, but now he's a felon. Because the prosecutor overcharged him for the simple fact that he didn't go out and get a lawyer. I mean, he could have got a cut rate.
He could have got a
public defender. And he would. But so I don't blame guys like that who got money and influence to use their privilege, in which case their privilege was their money, to go get out. So I'm not mad.
Yeah, I gave Melvin a hard time because, you know, Lil Wayne did it. but, you know, looking at it from that standpoint, because it's you always look at things differently when you're not the person suffering the consequences or within that scenario, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm in jail or if I'm facing something like that and I'm a person that has that type of power and that type of money and that type of clout and I can even get a conversation with this guy to get me out of jail, yeah, free me, motherfucker.
True, yeah.
So I'd be free. Yeah, so, yeah, I can't. Let me see. How can I say this? Given the jail charge, I don't condone anything that they did as far
of course
as with Trump and that whole thing. But we got enough black men in jail, and if you can get out by doing something that is bad now, but maybe you can redeem yourself over time, so be it. But bro, I don't want to go there. I don't want to see more of our brothers going there. But
yeah, well, you know. we about preaching business here, and what that was a business decision. So. More power to you for a good business decision.
I'll just put this out there, and I have to say it. I just hope that, given that this is probably his second or third mistake like that, that Lil Wayne learns from this shit.
He don't need to be holding. He don't need to be holding. You can hire people for that. How y'all feel about Wendy Williams blabbing personal business about our boy Method Man.
So it doesn't surprise me because that's her business. That's what she does, right? Mm-hmm. So now it's kind of like it surprises me that Meth even would do that.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. Did you look at the picture? Look at a picture of Wendy Williams from the 90s. She don't look like how she look now. So that's
two things. One, do you think it's true?
I believe it.
And on the flip side, to Juan's point, like you are 100% right, because I did see a side by side. Like you thinking about Meth now and Wendy now.
You gotta
look
think
at
about
it
them
and when she said it happened, and it's like, I probably believe Wendy on this one.
Okay, so you guys are saying, I'm gonna be very careful here. So you guys are saying, based off of her presentation back then and her presentation now,
both of them, he probably
jumped on it, man. She hasn't aged very well. Okay, he has. She was before she started going overboard with all the damn plastic surgery. She wasn't a bad looking woman. She looks hideous now.
Now I don't. Did Method Man respond?
I don't think he did. His wife responded, and she basically said that she's using that to advance her failing career. Her and her husband are good. You know. Plus, there was that whole situation where, and I don't know how Wendy Williams found out about this when his wife had cancer.
She blabbed it out before.
She told that she announced it on her show, and her family never knew about that shit.
Yeah. A light bulb just went off. So. Basically, when this quote-unquote happened, he was already with his wife.
No. I don't know that. I don't know that he was with his wife.
Because my thing is, if it happened before you was with your wife, just admit it.
But that's not. I think it's more so who it is. And
don't give her clout. Don't give her attention.
That's not stuff that you talk about, even if it was done. Even if you don't have anything to feel guilty about, that's you don't kiss and tell. I mean, I just personally think that's bad business. I think it's very bad.
I agree.
We don't discuss that stuff.
I agree, but they were again. If you go back, you have to look at each individual.
Look at the picture.
Back, you be like, okay, that okay. You just say okay when you see a book. Be like, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Wendy right now. Yeah.
Not right now or back then.
No, back then.
Yeah, she was.
So what would you have done, Tito?
Come on, man. Being that she was Wendy Williams on Kiss FM?
Yep. And you were, no, I'm not saying you, all right, I'm not going to take you as you were the individual, but let's say if it was you as a rapper and she was who she was and looked the way she looked, would you have?
My thing is this, it's a man and a woman thing. He got drunk. She probably was nice. It happened. They adults. Fuck it.
It happened. It was adults. They was young.
It would have happened to me too. Fuck it.
You just wouldn't. You wouldn't. I'd be like him. I wouldn't say anything. Yeah. 20 years or however long it was, however many years ago it was. So I just like, I wouldn't say nothing. The same way. The way he played it is the same way I would have played it. Just don't.
All right. All right, fellas. On that note, we want to put a nice little bow on this episode. I gotta say, this guy.
Oh,
be,
real quick. Real, what's up? Go ahead, real quick. Melvin, plug your podcast, your Instagram page.
Yes, do it all.
If you have a page for the candles, make sure you plug that. Plug any page, website, anything you got.
Man, yeah. So basically, you can follow me on IG and Facebook at Process the Mel. That's MEL. So Process the Mel is where you can find me. If you want to take a look at our show with me and my guy Shondo Blaze at Shondo Blaze, but we are both at 1% Better Everyday Show. That's on IG. So you spell out 1% Better Everyday Show. You can check out past episodes on our YouTube. You can check us. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple. We're on Google. We're on iHeartRadio. So however you like to listen to your podcast, you can listen to us there. But again, if you just go to my page, Process the Mel on IG, you'll be able to find all of the other avenues to reach us. But yeah, if you have any topics or if you just want to tune in and see what we talk about on a weekly basis, man, come tap in and come vibe with us. And like Tito said, so the candle line is coming. You can go follow that also at Wix and Vibes. That's WIXAND Vibes, VIBES. That is Wix and Vibes, and the website should be coming up pretty soon. The candles should be available for you to purchase here in the next 60 days or so. But yeah, man, come tap in and come join us for this ride.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely be doing that. Tito, you got any gigs coming up?
I actually got booked for my first wedding.
What?
Nice.
Some calls are starting to come in. You know, I'm starting to
Tunes Mobile
consideration. Tunes Mobile HTX, you already know. Make sure y'all also tap in with Hush Plug on Instagram and the website hushplug.com for the hottest hats, hoodies, and artwork. Hush Plug. Make sure y'all check that out. Support black business.
All right.
Oh, and it's also Black History Month, so let's make sure that we post and we pay homage.
Okay,
to,
so let me tell you something I learned about black history, about history in general, but it's also black history. Did you know that even though they teach us in school that George Washington chopped down a cherry tree and then admitted it as if they didn't know that he had did it. they teach that in schools, but what they don't teach is that he had 18 slaves by the time he was 18 years old.
Mm. Yeah,
I got that today from something my wife sent me.
I'm not surprised.
Didn't know that one.
Yeah, well.
Not surprised, but didn't know it.
There's a lot of stuff that none of us know. I'm like, I'm learning stuff every day, man. And I try to keep it not too militant, because I don't want you know what I'm saying? I have people from from other cultures and other races. I don't want to hit them over the head. I try to give it to them subtle. Give it to them.
Man, give it to them all. No chaser. That's what we do. Hey, coming to 1% Better Everyday Podcast, we give it to them straight, no chaser.
Oh, no doubt.
They do.
But hold on, man. We're going to have like a little after party after I sign off. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Duizel Nation Podcast. Also, before we cut out, understand that D-Meddy is going to be coming out with music. When is he coming out with that song?
In the music video.
With Pat.
I'm not sure on that, but he has a music video coming out. I think they're finalizing it now. It's pretty dope. I saw it already. I can't post it because he said I can't post it yet.
Okay.
And he actually remastered a couple of his songs. So look out for that.
Well, just remember, nice. Pap, who's also my nephew, because the music.
And the CEO of Hush Plug.
The CEO of Hush Plug, because the talent in the family runs deep. Okay? It skipped a generation. But anyway, that's been the Duizel Nation Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. One of the best, definitely one of my first interview. and one of the best episodes we've had up to date, man. Go check that out, man. We out, and we're going to listen to the tunes of California Love.
Yeah.
Your eardrum like a slug to your chest, like a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in that sun.